possibly afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 24th of March, Anno Domini 2012, and you lucky people, you may possibly be listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 8 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff to choose, signals to lose. Here we go.
We might be losing that one for sure.
Might be losing that one. Those of you who are listening to the show might find it better to listen to the stream today, as they're having some interesting design issues with the on-air transmission. So, if you lose the signal, come on back on the stream.
That old-fashioned radio signal.
The old-fashioned radio signal, or you can catch us on Ustream, of course, and that not only gives you the show but also gives you the video as well. Hi, all you people on Ustream. Is it up yet?
Yep.
Then hi, all you people on Ustream.
Yeah.
But we'll start with the news. Of course, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And you know what? When you call those numbers, you have a rare opportunity. We are in a pledge drive, and so you have the opportunity to join the Jazz 90.1 and Soundbites families. Last week, we raised just over $1,000, and I want to thank all those listeners who were generous enough to help keep this show on the air, and that's really what it comes down to. We issued a challenge to the podcast listeners, and honestly, you didn't do so well. So please, this week, those of you listening in the podcast, you too can pledge anytime during the week at jazz901.org. In fact, any of our listeners can do that, of course, jazz901.org, where you can pledge securely online, and in the comments section, just say it's for Sound Bites. So really, you podcast people didn't do all that well. But we need you to give us a call and make that pledge. The only, as we've said so many times in the past, this station doesn't get any government funding, not from the federal government, the state government, the county government, the local government, the city, the town, the anything government. We just don't get any of that stuff. The only place we get funding is from you. And clearly, this week, we need your help. We need to be able to keep this station on the air, both momentarily and in general. So please feel the love in your heart and make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Our first caller is Linda from Greece. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Okay,
Of course, you can pledge securely online.
My one died. I've been looking at Best Buy, and they have network-ready wireless printers. First of all, what is it? And second of all, what's the best brand to get?
Well, a network-ready wireless printer is a printer you don't have to plug into anything except power, because it lives on the network just like any other wireless device. So that means any machine on the network can print to it.
In other words, I have a router, and I have an iPad, and I have an iTouch and all that. So if I get a network-ready printer, what do I have to do to get it to recognize everything else?
Well, that's a different question. You need an iPad-capable wireless printer. That's another level. Apple calls the technology AirPrint. Some other brands call it ePrint. But in general, the wireless printers only work with computers.
Uh-huh.
You need a special wireless printer to work with mobile devices, like iPads and iPods.
Oh, okay. Well, next question to you is, does Best Buy sell those kind?
I don't know. I would imagine so.
So
all the,
words,
all the major
I have
brands.
To get one that's network ready, and it has to be able to use an iPad, so I have to tell them that.
Right. And you want to look for a branding on it called AirPrint.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure HP calls theirs ePrint. So you can do electronic printing. HP actually gives their printer an email address. So from anywhere in the world, you can email your printer, and it will print the thing you just emailed it.
Okay, because I've been looking on Best Buy, so I have to look for ePrint.
Well, ePrint is an HP brand. AirPrint is an Apple brand, but each brand calls it something differently. But somewhere it should say something about iPad or iPod compatible.
Okay. So what brand would you guys recommend?
They're all pretty good. A lot depends on what type of printing you want to do. We typically find that Epson does better with photographs.
Oh, no, no. This is for documents and maybe occasional greeting cards.
HP does a little better with text. But there are different classes of printers. At the low end of the cost line, there's the inkjet printers. And inkjet printers will come typically with a single color cartridge, which is cheaper, or they'll come with multiple color cartridges, cyan, magenta, yellow, in each their own cartridge.
Yeah.
And those types of printers tend to cost a little more to begin with, but the ink is much cheaper in the long run because you only replace the one ink that you're out of. With a single color tank, if you run out of yellow, you have to throw away the magenta and the cyan.
Okay. My desktop. Oh, that's another thing. I've still got my XP computer, and I many many shows ago, you told the gentleman that his printer may not work because he has XP. Is that true? Or did I misunderstand?
It can be true. Yes, when you're looking at printers, you also need to check the system requirements, and a lot of newer printers only go back to say Vista. Or Windows 7. They may not go back to XP.
Yeah, I saw one that had Windows 7, XP, and all that on there.
Yeah, that's...
But it didn't have AirPrint or all that.
Right, so it wouldn't necessarily print from your iPad, but it would print to your computer. So you could send a document from your iPad to your computer and then print it from the computer. But that's not as convenient.
Yeah.
The other thing to look at is you may want to move up to a laser printer. Especially if you're just doing documents, that the cost of consumables on a laser printer is much, much lowered. Typically with color inkjet, you're looking at $2 or $3 per page to do a color photo.
Uh-huh.
With black and white laser, you're looking at 20 to 30 cents per page.
Wow.
So it's significantly
cheaper.
Spend
more money up front to save later.
Yeah, and you can get really decent laser printers for $150. We actually have an HP wireless laser printer at our shop. It's $150, and it's iPad capable.
Okay. So let's see. Now I got to go in there. It's got to be network ready. It's got to be able to do it for my iPad. Yeah, so those are the questions I have to ask then.
Yep.
There you go.
And then if you go up another level, you get color laser. They start about $250, $300. That you get the low cost of laser, and you get the capability of color. So it depends on what you're going to print, how often you're printing.
Well, we print maybe at least 10 times a year for greeting cards.
Then you may want a color laser printer.
So you can do color greeting cards, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I hope you guys solve your problems with your on-air stuff.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. And, of course, you can help us solve our problems.
No, once in a while you might hear me have to quick switch over.
Yeah.
As in his note, I just periodically, it'll just be a brief second, you'll hear the delay. I just got to quick check it. So just not to throw you two guys off.
That's all right. Okay. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But you can help us solve these problems.
Yes.
If you give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, toll free at 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org, you can help us to solve the problems we're having now, keep this show and this station on the air, and you can become a member of the Sound Bites family. It's really ridiculously easy to do.
And you know one thing I was pointing out, and I did it on my Thursday night show, you know, we've been doing this. This is our third year of doing the pledge drives. How much has it been every time we do this?
You mean for the whole drive, $50,000?
$50,000. Now, has your either one of your gas and electric bills stayed the same in the past 3 years?
Oh, gosh, let me think. No.
Bingo. But yet, neither has it here for the station. So that's just one thing to show to folks that, you know what, we're halfway there, $25,000 to the goal, but you know what, we're still only asking for $50,000. Our G&E costs and everything else have gone up, but you know what? We have kept things trim and slim. We're not going out there. Rob doesn't have a very plush couch. Matter of fact, that thing needs more duct tape on it.
Yeah.
And that. But, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, we're giving, again, here we are Saturday, and we're giving up 2 hours of our time, the three of us, and more like 4 hours by the time we get here and get ready and then leave, there's 4 hours. So, right. You know what? We give up our time, so why can't you give up a little money to help support this great show?
And let's not forget the fact that when we first started here, Dave spent a lot of hours learning to run this board.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, he's learned a lot more,
yeah.
Particularly when, we go off the air or whatever. So that's an important point to remember. We're not asking for money to pay us. We're not asking money to pay Rob's house or car or anything like that. What we're asking for is money to keep this station on the air. All you have to do is give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Listen, I understand why people didn't call last week. It was an absolutely beautiful day. But now look at it out there. You're sitting at home listening to the show. You could join us at the $35 level, the $50 level, or you can call in with $5 or $10. Every penny
they quick called.
Counts.
They were quick on the phone to say, "Hey, you're not on the air." Well, gee, you know what? How would it be if we weren't? Jazz station, Jazz 90.1 wasn't.
That's right.
You know what I mean, you folks that enjoy your jazz and everything else. We couldn't even finish the polka guys.
Right.
You know, we need your help, folks, and it's only going to help. You know, if you put Samantha and Steve here to work by taking your pledge.
And all you have to do is give us a call. It takes less than 2 minutes.
And all we got to do is beat $800 that the Polka Guys did this year, or this week.
Yep.
$800.
We did $1,000 last week. The people who are listening on the podcast weren't much of a help. But we can do it again this week. Give us a call, please, and make that pledge. In the meantime, I'll do the news.
That works.
Apple's new iPad runs noticeably warmer than its predecessor, and the question now is whether or not it will become the next AntennaGate or no big deal. Consumer Reports did not sound alarm bells in the article it posted to its website late Tuesday. "During our tests, I held the new iPod in my hands," Consumer Reports writer Donna Tappellini wrote. "When it was at its hottest, it felt very warm, but not especially uncomfortable if held for a brief period." Apple investors shrugged off the news. Apple shares went up a fraction in the afternoon, trading Wednesday, and earlier in the day hit yet another all-time high, $609.40. Consumer Reports said the new iPad reached a high temperature of 116 degrees Fahrenheit when playing the video game Infinity Blade 2. That's 13 degrees warmer than the iPad 2 in tests. Engineers tested the device in a room with an ambient temperature of 72 degrees. The device reached its highest temperature when used while plugged in and charging. Consumer Reports said the heat was most concentrated on the lower left corner of the tablet, which is where the actual motherboard is. The rest of it's all battery. Apple spokesrobot Natalie Harrison said the iPad runs well within our thermal specifications, adding that if customers have any concerns, they should contact AppleCare. The iPad heat issue likely won't be a problem unless the anecdotal reports escalate. That could include reports of iPads overheating or malfunctioning. They should contact AppleCare. Say the tablet is uncomfortable to use. Since the third generation iPad has only been out since last Friday, the situation will need to be monitored for several weeks to see if it's really a problem. It might turn out to be nothing serious, or Apple might have to issue new usage guidelines. Don't hold it that way. In a worst-case scenario, it's a design flaw for which Apple would need to compensate customers. One video of a burned lap or something would probably do a lot of damage. Whether the device feels hot could depend on the user. It's relative as to whether 116 degrees is too hot. Some of this is going to play out as public perception. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is The new iPad runs hot, and your choices are, don't care, not going to buy one anyway, it's pretty much no big deal, way too hot for my delicate skin, and I can't wait to use it in the Mojave Desert. So far, we've got 48 votes in the poll. 69% of you aren't going to buy one anyway. But look, you have more to say. So when you're done, check the yellow box underneath the poll. Click on Give Us Your Opinion. It will take you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
And answer the opinion question of the week, which is, do you think the new iPad's heat will be a problem? And, of course, that's our question to you. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Also, call those numbers and to pledge. And you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Do you realize we went an entire segment and not one person called in? We're going to take a quick break to salve our wounded egos. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 24 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on
member-supported
Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 28 minutes after the hour, you could be the very first person to pledge this week. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415, or you could pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And there's lots of ways you can pledge. We have a $35 level, a $50 level, a $100 level. $50 level is less than a dollar a week for this show.
Holy crap.
It's less than a dollar a week for this show. We would love to have somebody call in and pledge. I guess that's enough. You know why you have to pledge. You know.
Yeah, we've stated it.
Keeping,
I mean, they know
keeping
that
the show on the air is important, and we would love to have you be part of the Soundbites family. Our next caller is Sal from Fairport. Welcome, Sal. Are you a member?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. What can we do for you?
Just have a question. How long do you think it'll be before somebody sues about the heat on the iPad there?
We were just talking about that.
I'm surprised I haven't already.
As soon as something happens with Apple,
yeah.
Some person
is
going to sue.
I can't imagine that there isn't going to be a lawsuit. As Steve just said, I'm shocked that there isn't one already. But I think you can't just sue because it's hot. You have to sue because you're...
Yes, they will.
Well, I suppose you can. This is America. You can sue anybody for anything.
And
the reality is that the stupider the lawsuit, the more likely
it is
they'll
get away with it.
Oh, yeah. Some liberal judge is going to say, okay, that's perfect. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but on the side of the box is the operating temperature, and it's designed to operate up to... in an environment of 95 degrees Fahrenheit.
Uh-huh.
So add it, the temperature of your room, you know, it's going to be a little hotter.
Right. But we say, well, it's supposed to operate 95, it's 114, you owe me money.
The air temperature is 95. In fact, last summer there were reports that when we had really hot summer days, people were reporting their iPads were shutting off because they were too hot and couldn't run.
So I've had that happen to my phone. You leave it in the sun, it happens, you know.
Yeah, there's thermal circuitry built in to prevent it from doing that. But we were just watching, there's a video on YouTube from a company called Wicked Lasers, and they're firing lasers at the iPad, and it doesn't survive. And they have a 4,000-lumen flashlight. I looked at it, 4,000 lumens. That's a giant projector to fill a huge auditorium. And they set it on top of the iPad, and it melts the iPad.
You think?
Yeah, it'll melt everything.
Yeah, I've got a giant flashlight at home that's a million candle power. I don't know how many lumens that is. And I can't put my hand in front of it. Should I sue the company if I burn myself?
Oh, sure.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Or blind yourself?
Or blind myself, yeah. Do not look into laser with remaining eye.
Yeah, right. Here's the other thing. We were just talking about this. There are, you know, there's going to be a huge market for self-cooling cases.
Yeah.
Which we already have for laptops. You know, as I was saying, my laptop is running at 160 degrees at the moment.
And if they were smart, they'd have it run off the heat. that's being produced.
Yeah,
that would provide the power to cool the fans, to run the fans to cool it.
Put a little heat motor in it.
Exactly.
And you have to wind it to start it, but once it does, it'll run itself.
Yeah, just a heat differential.
Yeah, at our store, we've got some cooling pads that are made out of this thermal gel. It's a solid at room temperature, but you put your computer on it, and it draws the heat away from your computer and turns into squishy, which kind of interesting.
Squishy.
It gets squishy as it pulls the heat away from your computer, and then you turn the computer off, take it off the gel. It re-solidifies again.
Right. So it's state change, man.
Yeah. There's also cases that have active fans in it that run off your USB port. Yeah. So I can start seeing. In fact, I'm Googling it now to see if anyone has done any of these thermal gels for the iPad case.
But you also have to remember that 116 degrees isn't really that hot.
Probably run at about 125 or 130.
Right. If you're the sort of person who likes to put it on your lap while you're watching a movie, now you may have the same problem that the regular IMAX have, which is that eventually you singe the boys.
For years we've been saying you can't use a laptop on your lap. They've been too hot for
not
years.
Anymore,
but once they went to dual core, so we got to start calling them portables. I gotta force myself to remember to say it's a portable.
It's a portable. but here's the other part of the problem. You know, Apple really has two problems right now. One is the fact that the commercials show people sitting around on a beach with it on their laps.
Uh-huh.
That's probably going to be a problem.
You think?
If it's 95 degrees out and you're sitting there with an iPad on your bare legs because you're wearing a bikini or a briefs or shorts, swimming trunks, as they used to be called, that can become a problem, and somebody will certainly sue. But the other part of the problem is we've got these HD iPads now. And people are going to use them to do HD things, like watch
a
movie or do, FaceTime or whatever.
Did you have that in the news?
Yeah, we do. Later. And what's happening is that people are finding they end up using all their data plan the first, say, half hour of the month.
There was a guy that went to a coffee shop to watch the basketball game, and he ate up his 2 gig data plan in 2 hours.
They're eating up data plans, doing baby monitoring off that.
Yep, the 4G is so much faster, it means you can eat up your data plan all the faster. So it's there really needs to be a change in these data caps. We've been saying all along that data caps are a bad idea. But now
they're going to say just pay more.
Yep, it's becoming more and more obvious how bad an idea it is. You run out of data in an hour or two of streaming video.
Right.
And the one of the other guys I read about, he wasn't streaming video, but he did an app update.
Oh, yeah.
He updated three or four apps and ate up a gigabyte of his data.
Yep.
Some of those apps are a few hundred meg.
Apple did raise the individual app cellular limit to 50 megs. So if a single file is bigger than 50 megs, the iOS will not let you download it on 3G. It will warn you.
Nice.
But if you download 100 files at 5 megs each,
you're good.
It doesn't catch that.
Right.
But the thing of it is, and folks have to get in the habit of doing, is, and I do it on my phone, is look for a lot of free Wi-Fi. There is a ton of it around here. It's just that you got to take the time. I know it's convenient, just quick, say, boom, and download it through your phone. But if you can search for free Wi-Fi, I've found that I can save myself quite a bit and download one heck of a lot of data.
Well,
there was another story about a guy went to a coffee shop and their Wi-Fi was so slow he switched over to 4G.
Yeah.
And ate up his data plan.
Yeah. Well, what we really need on both Android and iOS phones is a little switch that you can.
There is.
A software.
Cellular data off.
No, a software switch in the update mechanism that says, do not update on Wi-Fi.
Now, there's a general cellular off that you
But I want to be able to say, I need my cell on because people call me, I call them, yada, yada, yada.
Don't be checking
But I don't want
updates.
Updates. And even if you did that on an individual basis.
Well, updates, I think you can schedule that when it does the updates.
You have to say you want the updates to download now. Yeah. It tells you they're available on iOS. You have to say, go ahead and download them.
Right.
So don't download them if you're on cellular.
Right. And you can do the same. You can actually do the same on Android, or you can say automatically download. Now, I do have unlimited data with Verizon. And what Verizon is doing different from AT&T is kind of interesting. And AT&T has talked about doing the same thing.
Throttled or gouged?
Throttled. I'm throttled, not gouged. But the way it happens is I get throttled only if I'm on a tower that's too busy.
That's different, so the minute, instead of just in general.
Right. So if the minute I move to another tower, I'm not throttled anymore. Or if the tower stops being busy, I'm not throttled anymore.
Yep. With AT&T, you get close to your 3 gig. Unlimited now means 3 gigs.
Right.
And when you get close to your 3 gigs, they slow you down to 256K, I think I read this. So it's still technically unlimited because you're still getting close to your 3. So it's so short that you can't use it.
Right.
Or so slow.
Right. I posted this online a while ago. I was getting 17 megabits per second download on 4G. That's fast enough.
Yep.
It's faster than what I'm getting at home. It's not faster than what I'm getting at work, but that's, that's a whole other story. But
different situation too.
Right, right. So if I'm somewhere where there's not a lot of 4G activity, I'm 17 megabits. And if there is, I throttle down to 10 or 5 or 2 or whatever.
It was Virgin. I read about it on Stop the Cap. Virgin's new unlimited service means 2.5 gigabytes. And if you go beyond that, they throttle you down to 256K, which is still 10 times faster than your modem was.
Yeah, and so many people are happy with that.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. On the one hand, they sell us these things by saying, watch HD movies as you wander around the world. And on the other hand, the carriers are all saying, no. But we're going to take another break. Please give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at timing. I don't know what to say about anything.
Can't do much of anything. I mean, it is what it is. And
however, we can answer some questions that people have written in.
Yeah, and if folks can still call us.
If you're on, that's right.
If you're on the stream and want to still get your computer question in, go ahead and give us a call because we can do it still that way.
Yeah, there seems to be a 25-second lag on the internet. But listen, here's the deal. This is an absolutely perfect example of why we need you people to be calling us. If you're listening to this over the internet, you know that we need help getting the terminal, transmitter back up. And we need you to become a member. This is how we keep things running. We now have a purchase that we have to make, an expense that we weren't expecting. Failed components. You all know what that's like. So, and particularly those of you who are listening, telling people, is it back?
Now it's back, yeah.
Yeah, of course, and that happened exactly while I was telling people that we still have the podcast up. So, you see, we do need new equipment, and you can help us get there. Those of you, there are hundreds of you who listen to us on the podcast every single week, and all we're really asking you to do is to make a pledge. And if you want to pledge at a level, $35, $50, $100, God bless you for that. But if you have $5, $10, $2, $8, we will take any pledge in any amount. If you're listening on the podcast, right now go to jazz901.org on your web browser and make that pledge. Pledge securely online and say it's for Soundbites. We really clearly need your help. And those of you who are listening over the internet, for those of you on EFNet, I usually don't beg those of you who are listening to us on the IRC chat, because I know that most of you don't ever spend money on anything. And those few who do, thank you very much. But you can see that we need help. We need to keep this station and this show on the air. And the way that happens is if you call 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, toll free at 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online right now at jazz901.org. God knows you are on the internet, so make the pledge securely online. Use your browser, go to www.jazz901.org, and make the pledge. We need your help.
Yeah, really. You know, like I said, and I was saying before, you know, we don't get the grants, but it is a tax deduction for you. And they've got some great gifts. I mean, they've got the new, which I want to definitely get one, is the new zip-up windbreaker. I mean, Before they had the one that only zipped down a little bit, like the fleece that I have on right now, and you had to slide it over your head. The zip-up one is really nice. I've seen it. I want to get one of those. They have the short-sleeve T-shirts, the baseball caps. They've got a number of CDs. Matter of fact, the CDs we've been playing all week. Hold on a minute. They've got one fantastic one, is Sinatra, and it's the best of the best. And, I mean, just on this one CD, they got 23 of his all-time favorites, Miles Davis, Gary Milligan, Chet Baker at Carnegie Hall is one of the CDs that were given away, and also David Fathead Newman. This is a three-pack. I mean, this CD, this one package, if you select this, is three CDs full of David Fathead Newman.
Yep.
And it's really a good CD. I was playing it Thursday night on my show. But you know what? We need you folks to pick up the phones and give us a call, because you know, we're halfway there, and we really haven't budged a lot, you know, since last week.
At all, hardly. The polka guys did $800 this week.
Yeah,
and we've, of course, done nothing in the first hour.
Zip.
Zero.
That is going to be very embarrassing next week when they come in and say, so how much did you raise last week? Yep, how much.
And that nobody, apparently,
they don't care.
Cares.
No. So, we give up our time, but they can't give up a few bucks twice a year.
Right. That's okay. It is what it is. It is what it is.
And
we're gonna keep coming every week, and you can just keep on listening. But if there's anybody there who really understands what we all go through here, please give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
And the thing of this is what it would cost to fix your computer. You know, if they had to bring it into a shop. You know, the advice that they get here weekly. I mean, we're here every week, unless it's a major holiday.
Yeah, and you know what? Really, you spend $400 on a new computer, $600 on an iPad, $1,500 on a MacBook. Send us 10%. Send us $40. Send us $60. How is that onerous? If you've been able to afford a computer,
yeah.
You know, people say, "Well, I can't afford it." Then I get that.
But
you know,
we can even do payment plans.
I don't believe you, but I get it.
We can do payment plans, too. I mean, you know, the station was bending over backwards trying to make it as easy for everybody concerned to still be a member and support this great programming that you hear week after week, and live DJs. Not one of these, like I was telling folks, Thursday nights. You know, I encourage folks to call in and request songs on my show. And I actually play them. At most stations, they'd sit there and say, "Yo, see what I can do about it." And that note with the song request gets thrown in the trash.
Right, and if you ask the DJ why, they'll say, well, it's just a standard song. It'll come up in rotation within the next couple hours.
Yeah, yeah, and they don't worry about it.
Right.
Yeah, if it's a popular song, it'll come up in rotation. If it's not a popular song, they're not going to play it anyway.
Right,
and
right,
I,
right.
I find, just found that they do make a thermal pack case for the iPad with that heat shift gel.
State change. All right, let me read another another news item. Wondering why a certain email was dumped into your Gmail spam folder? Google will now clue you in. As of last Monday, Gmail users can select any message banned to the spam folder and see a "Why is this message in spam?" notice near the top. The notice will display a brief explanation accompanied by a Learn More link to a page describing the many reasons certain messages are considered spam. A look at the email in several people's Gmail spam folder revealed a variety of explanations. For one email that claimed to be from YouTube, but clearly was not, Gmail said that our systems couldn't verify that this message was really sent to you by YouTube.com. Another email hawking phony Adobe software was flagged as spam because many people marked similar messages as phishing scams, so this might contain unsafe content. A third email that looked like it was sent from Twitter was considered junk because similar messages were used to steal people's personal information. And a batch of other messages were flagged mainly because they were similar to messages that were detected by our spam filters. Gmail does a pretty good job of separating the junk from the non-junk, so most people usually don't bother to scan through their spam folders, but Google's helpful spam explanations can alert you to specific unwanted emails and tell you what to do when you do get spammed. I'm coming to like Gmail more and more. I've actually moved one of my domains and more of...
All our mail is switched over to Gmail servers.
Yeah.
Jerry moved us over, I think it was about 3 months ago,
right.
And we're loving it.
Now you get 10 email addresses for free.
Right.
We switched over so long ago, we were on the 100 for free plan.
Nice. Which means you still have those because you're still grandfathered in. I find that I get a lot less spam than I used to because Gmail does a terrific job of killing spam.
Mm-hmm.
For the first month and a half, I looked at the spam folder every day, and I never had a false positive. It was really pretty terrific, I have to say. It was really pretty terrific. So I've been pretty happy with it. So that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
So far, I haven't had a problem. Nothing is perfect. It's a computer program. So, you know, 1 in 10,000, 1 in 100,000, 1 in 1,000, 1 in 100. I mean, it's almost nothing. You get right down to it. That's almost nothing. So, I can live with that. You know, I can live with a false positive every once in a while. But
remember the olden days? I still remember a lawsuit. Was it Mindspring? Was sort of notorious. It was one of the early, you know, sign up for cheap internet deals, and so many people were using Mindspring to send spam out that the entire Mindspring domain got flagged as spam.
Yep.
And somebody's tried to sue them because their legitimate business now didn't get any mail orders anymore because they were screwed.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens. It's probably not going to happen to Google.
Yep.
I suspect.
There was a similar issue we happened here in Rochester last week. A construction crew cut a phone junction, and an entire neighborhood of Rochester was without phone service for a week. And all the businesses along the way were dying because they couldn't take phone orders. Most of them lost internet too because it's this similar wires. And those that could take orders couldn't process credit card payments because that all goes out over the phone line.
See, you need either PayPal here or Square.
You still need internet access to process
the
Square
payment.
Yeah. You still got to have that.
If the entire cellular network goes down, you've got a problem. So speaking of spam and things like that, a hole in Apple's mobile Safari can be exploited to display a different URL in the address field than the website being viewed in the browser. Discovered earlier this month by German security firm Major Security, the vulnerability could allow the cyber criminals to spoof the URL displayed in the browser, trapping users at the wrong sites. The weakness is caused due to an error within the handling of URLs when using JavaScript's window.open method explained David Vieira Kurtz of Major Security, except he probably said it in German. This can be exploited to potentially trick users into supplying sensitive information to a malicious website because information displayed in the address bar can be constructed in a certain way, which may lead users to believe that they're visiting another website than the displayed website. We should have waited for George. He could have read this in German. First uncovered in iOS 5, the hole was reproduced in iOS 5.1. The security firm was able to confirm the flaw on an iPhone 4, an iPhone 4S, an iPad 2, and an iPad 3. Although they don't call it that, it's just the new iPad. All running iOS 5.1.
Parenthetical third generation.
Right. Apple was informed of the bug by Major Security on March 3rd, but the information didn't go public until this last Tuesday. But Major Security is advising users to upgrade to a new version of iOS when a patch becomes available, or I suppose use a different browser. Since Apple has acknowledged the issue, it should be able to push out a fix in its next iOS update. For now, though, mobile Safari users should follow the usual advice of not opening links you don't trust and be on the lookout for any site that asks for personal information.
Yeah, it's been an issue of link spoofing for years. When you see a link on an email, typically email, but on any web page, that can be spoofed. So the link may say apple.com, but when you click on it, it takes you to, you know, stealmyinfo.com or something like that.
Right.
So the recommendation we've always given for years is when you click on a link, if you point to that link with your cursor and just hover there, you'll see the real address underneath it, and you can always look in your address bar to see the real address of the place you've gone to. Well, now we've lost that security because that address in the address bar can now be spoofed. But this is a Java issue, so would other browsers have the same problem? On
data stream again?
That's back.
Okay.
Periodically.
Stop pressing the button.
No, periodically. I still have to keep checking
make
it.
Make sure
see.
It's still down.
Yeah,
it's still down. Yeah, I don't know. That's a very good question.
I have to try that when I get home. I have a browser called the Atomic browser that I use in addition to Safari, and I'll have to try that because I played with it with mobile Safari, and yeah, it works. It doesn't work, I guess, is the better answer.
Right.
That you think you're seeing Apple's website, and you actually are seeing Apple's website, and the address bar says apple.com, but that's only because the example code that the guys are doing brings in Apple's website in front of their bad code. So a bad guy could make you think you're at the web page. You see that web page. You see the URL of the page you think you're at. But behind that page is the bad page.
Many browsers will, email programs, if you hover over a link, it will show you somewhere, usually in the lower left corner of that window, it will show you the actual location to which you're going. I know Thunderbird does that. A couple of others do that. In Apple Mail, it actually pops up in a little yellow box. So those all work.
To make sure you're going where you really think you're going. And that's sort of been the recommendation about why we say don't click on links in email is because it's so easy to spoof that link.
Right, right. It's an interesting little problem, and lots of, you know, every machine has it. We're not singling out Safari. This just happens to be the latest news item about it. But, you know, everybody's got this problem. It's a terrible thing everywhere. What's interesting is that it takes so long to fix it. You would think if it were me, if I were running Apple, I wouldn't be on the air here. But if I were running Apple, I would and somebody told me about that, the first thing I would do would be to go into my guys and say, we need a fix out by tomorrow. Everybody who's not working on it, stop not working on it.
Right. The problem with large development programs is you don't know what that change is going to break else.
Oh, no, I understand. But, you have to spend a bunch of time testing it. Believe me, we do that a lot.
And that's one of the differences in the way Apple handles updates and the way Microsoft handles updates. Microsoft schedules their updates second Tuesday of the month, and they tell you what they're going to be updating. Apple updates things when they can at any random schedule, basically. And...
We're back up.
on something like this where
hey,
you...
Hey, very exciting for back. Us. Those of you who were kind enough to sit listening to Dead Air should know we're back up, so thank you very much. You can help us stay up by giving us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free at 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Clearly, we need your help to keep this station on the air. Now, I say that every pledge drive. You think I don't mean it literally. I do. You can help us maintain this station by making that call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. I'm sorry, Steve, I cut you off.
That's all right.
Really, that's what we need. We've been sitting here vamping till ready. And reading some news items, we'd much rather just sit here and answer your computer questions. To do that, we need two things. We need to end this pledge drive, and we can only do that by you making a pledge. And we need to fix our transmitter, which we can only do by you making a pledge. So please give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free at 1-800-790-0415, or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Now, let me please thank, God bless this woman, Sarah, who has made a pledge to Jazz 90.1. First pledge of the day, 1:11 p.m. We've been on the air for an hour and 11 minutes. And Sarah...
not quite, though.
Well, no, we've been on the air for about four minutes.
We've been in the studio for an hour and a half minutes.
And Sarah, thank you so much for your pledge. Welcome to the Jazz 90.1 family and to the Soundbites family. We want to thank you for your very generous donation and for becoming a member of the family and helping to keep this station on the air, or as we might put it today, get this station back on the air. So we want to thank you for that, and I want to tell you how much I appreciate it. And the rest of you, why are you sitting on your thumbs? Make the call. Join Sarah as a member of the Soundbites family. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Heaven knows we need your help, and we need it now. So please, make the call. Give us a hand. Keep this station on the air. Get this station back on the air. And we will see to it that together we bring you lots and lots and lots more sound bites. So please, help us out, join us, and become part of the family.
Looks like Dave is conducting an orchestra over there.
No, I'm trying to figure out. Because we missed one block of the top of the
top
hour.
Top of the hour. Oh, we didn't do our FCC top of the hour station identification.
We're taking care of that.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I'm in the midst of doing here. That's why I'm not ignoring you, gentlemen. Sometimes writing
a pen though.
It's card. Yeah.
I'm trying to juggle a couple things here at once, but. This, too, will get resolved in a couple moments.
The wonders of modern technology. We take so much for granted when we don't have simple things like electricity or...
Well, that's the other thing, too. You know, a lot of folks take our show for granted. I mean, you know, they just always expect us to be here, you know, and, answering the computer questions like we do week after week for, the past 23 years. I mean, we're just there. And folks, I think, you know, have gotten very complacent. And they just think, this will get over with. But you know what? It's not going to until you folks pick up the phones and give us a call. Because we're going to keep harping on it. I don't want to sound crass or anything else, but we have a budget. And for us to stay on the air, we got to raise this money.
Yeah, we're happy to not be here asking for pledges, but we can't until we hit $50,000. We are halfway there, And Sarah has helped us get a little closer.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Sarah, you're the only one. And thank you so much. You're an army of one all by yourself. I'll tell you what was interesting at TEDx Rochester last year. Some random gentleman came up to me and said, "You're the guy who does the security tango." I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I really want to thank you because you've saved three of my machines." I said, "Well, that'll be a dollar then." And he laughed. He said, "What?" I just said, "Never mind. That's nobody ever gives me a dollar anymore."
Yeah.
And I walked away, and about 10 minutes later, tapped me on the shoulder and handed me a buck.
Get out.
Really? Yeah, which I'm actually in the process of framing. I haven't gotten the frame yet.
Cool.
I just thought that was very sweet. We do, the point here is we do an awful lot of stuff, and we never ask for anything in return. We're happy to do it. Once in a while, I've gotten a little angry when people just rush up at me out of nowhere and ask me a question without so much as a hello or do you mind or anything else. But in general, we answer people's questions without reservation, without stopping. We're happy to share our knowledge. The problem is, if we're going to share it on the air, we have to have our station running. Were you looking for the bell?
Yes.
Right in front over here.
No, this is going to be
a double bell. A dual dinger. Very generous pledge.
Very, very generous pledge from Daria. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks, Dar. We're very, very honored. This is great. I don't know
very
what the exchange rate is, but I don't care. This is our friend Darna, and it's an extremely, extremely generous donation, and I can't begin to thank you enough. Our friend Dar has joined Sarah as an ongoing member of the Soundbites family, and we're very, very honored. Thanks, Dar. Thank you so much. This makes me very, very happy. But you could make me happier, and what is more important than making me happy? And you can do it by simply making a pledge, make a donation to the Soundbites family, to the Jazz 90.1 station, and it's really easy to do. You can call 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, or you can do as a friend of the show, Dar, did, and call 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Doing so is probably going to take you all of 2 minutes out of an entire week. It's only going to take you about two minutes. So please join Sarah and Dar and become the newest member of the Soundbites family.
And when you do, go on the web, make sure you put in a note there that it is for Soundbites.
Yeah, absolutely. At any time you go, you can go to the web 24/7, and any time you do, definitely say that it's for Soundbites. Our next caller is Bill from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question? Bill?
What is it? Ubuntu?
Ubuntu.
Yeah. What is it?
What is it? It's a version of Linux. Linux is an operating system, just like Windows is an operating system, just like iOS is an operating system, just like OS X is an operating system, like Android is an operating system. It's just a different one. It is free, both in terms of it doesn't cost anything, and it is unencumbered by any sort of digital rights management. So it is perfectly legal for me to give you a copy of Ubuntu for you to put on your machine. You don't have to pay anybody. You don't have to ask anybody's permission. All the programs that come with it, and there's over 20,000 of them, are also all free. Updates are automatic. Updates to the newest version of the operating system, as well as updates to all the programs, are all free and semi-automatic. It'll come up and say you have updates. Do you want to update now? And you say yes or no. You know, the same idea.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's just a different operating system. It's the one I use on a daily basis. I really like it. It's based on Unix.
Yeah. Well, so is Linux, right? They're all...
That's what I'm saying. Linux is based on Unix, and it's a... it's a heck of an operating system. I find it does everything I want to do. Now, I'm certainly not going to play Infinity Blade 63 on it. I'm not going to...
Well,
what?
World of Warcraft.
I can't play World of Warcraft.
They're working on bringing that to iOS and Android.
Yep. But I don't do those things. If you're the sort of person who does, well, everything else, I do YouTube and all that other stuff. Listen, stay on the line. We have to take a break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Bill from Irondequoit, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and you have a golden opportunity to call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Jazz or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And join member-supported Jazz 90.1.
A public service of the Greece Central School.
That's stupid music.
What's wrong with it? Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And 25 minutes after the hour, we have Bill from Irondequoit still on the line. But before we get back to him...
It's up-tempo.
Let me thank both Ed and Gerd, who have joined Dar and Sarah as members of the Soundbites family. Thanks. It's people like you who are keeping us on the air and certainly getting us back on the air and helping us reach our goal. So thanks very much to both of you. And we do have Bill on the line. Bill, what else do you need to know?
We're talking
about Ubuntu.
How much horsepower do you need to run it?
Well, not much. I have run it on a 286 with 16 meg of RAM. That's a specialized version. That was damn small Linux. There's also Puppy Linux. But if you're going to run Ubuntu,
they are currently recommending 700 megahertz and 384 RAM.
Yeah. So it's a modest system. Obviously, as with any modern operating system, the more oomph you give it and the more RAM you give it, the better your computing experience will be.
Okay. I've got an old, my daughter's, it's, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old, but it was, I think, a P4 with a mega memory and, reasonable hard disk and all that. And it had Windows XP Pro on it.
Yep.
So I can just... what do you do, reformat the hard drive and then somehow move Ubuntu to a disk and read it off a disk to load it?
You can go to getubuntu.com, download a CD image, burn the CD image just as you would anything else, and then boot from it. And when it comes up, it's smart enough to say, I see there's Windows on this drive. Didn't quite say it this way, of course. I see there's Windows on this drive. You got a couple of choices. Do you want to erase it and just run Ubuntu? Do you want a dual boot?
Okay.
So as long as Windows is installed first, it's real easy to run a dual boot system.
Okay.
So you can tell it whichever one you want. If you say dual boot, when it first comes up, it'll give you a little menu of which the first choice is Linux and the last choice is Windows. That's their prerogative. So you can wander up and down that list picking whatever you want, but if you just format it to run only Ubuntu, it'll just come up in Ubuntu.
There's also a live CD you can get where it boots Ubuntu from the CD and doesn't do anything to your existing hard drive. So you can play with it without endangering any data you have on your current hard drive. It's a little slower booting from CD. They also have a live USB version, too. So it'd be a little slower than booting from your hard drive, but it would still work.
Okay. I had one final question, then.
Yeah.
Nick,
yes.
if you were the president of Apple, why wouldn't you still do the show?
I would have hired 50 or 60 other people to show. No, I would still do the show. Absolutely. I love this show. I don't care.
Okay.
The day I win the lottery, which would be the day after I play the lottery, so it's probably a long ways away, I would still do this show.
Okay.
Dave's got his ticket.
I got every Saturday morning I stop and I get my coffee and I pick up a lottery ticket.
See, I actually
what the cool thing is? So far every week, they say, I go to scan it, and it says, you can play again, you didn't win.
They let you play again.
Yeah.
And how much? They only charge a dollar to do that.
A dollar again.
It's really unbelievable. I'll tell you what, though.
Amazing.
The thing I don't get is I really actually threatened to sue them at one point.
For?
Because I had a dollar, I had a dream, and I got nothing out of it. I believe that's false advertising.
The anticipation is what they'll
tell you. They told me all you need is a dollar and a dream. Mm-hmm. I had both. I got nothing.
Well, they changed that. Now you need that little bit of luck, guy.
Yeah, now you need a little bit of luck. Yeah. And that may be why. Possibly somebody actually sued them.
Yep. Guy came home from the office one day and said, "Pack your bags. I won the lottery." And his wife goes, "Ooh, where are we going?" And he says, "I don't care. Just get the heck out."
Yeah. All right. Thanks. That's what we needed.
Are we in a community property state?
Yeah.
I won the lottery.
I think they're all community property states, aren't they? Now? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I'm still actually very happily married. I know that's a boring thing to say, but it's true. Oh, my golly. My hard drive in my computer is now at 118 degrees. It hasn't burst into flame yet. What happened?
Wow. My
that's 2 degrees higher than...
My CPU is at 180. My hard drive is at 101.
My CPU is only at 104. All right, our next caller is...
180. I can boil water. I'll almost boil water on my computer.
That's exactly right. Our next caller is member of the family, Gerd, from Victor, New York. Welcome, Gerd, and thank you so much.
Pleasure talking to you guys.
What can we do for you?
Well, I got two questions. Number one, when I start my HP tower, I get this start from CD, so I have to shut it down, start again, hit F9, and then select the next one down to get into the... And then everything works fine. That's number one. How do I get rid of that?
Well, let's start with that one.
Go ahead.
That's one of a couple of things. Is there a CD in the drive?
No.
You sure?
Positive.
Okay. Then it is possible that your hard drive is not well.
Well, let's go with something simpler first.
Let's change the order.
In your BIOS, there's a boot order on what it will look for first. And it may be set, in your case, to always boot from the CD first.
How do I get to the BIOS?
Depends on the computer. Sometimes it's F2 or F10 or F11 or delete. Typically,
it's often called setup. So as it first boots up, you might see a quick message that says "press F2 to enter setup."
Okay.
Or some other keystroke to enter setup. On some machines, it was delete. Yeah. So that's how you get into it, and then you have to find the boot section, which could be again depending on which BIOS you've got, any one of six places.
And then change the boot order so it boots the hard drive first.
Gotcha.
As Nick was saying, it could be possible that the hard drive is not spinning up in time, so it's not ready to boot, which could mean that the hard drive is getting ready to fail. So once you get the hard drive running and booting properly, back it up immediately just in case.
Yeah, make sure all your data are backed up because it may well be.
It might not give you any further warning, and then it's too late.
Right. If you do change the boot order and you get the same message, you definitely have a hard drive problem.
Well, I got a Seagate backup that I use that I turn on before I turn on the computer, so it's continually backing up.
That may be an issue. Windows isn't very nice about USB hard drives. It tries to boot from them all the time. And if your backup drive isn't bootable, then it may not boot. So when you get into your boot order setting and say the hard drive first, you may have to pick which hard drive you want to boot first. So it may be trying to boot that external drive and can't, gives up and says, and then you have to jump around it.
Right. You can test that by not booting up, by not turning on the external hard drive until after you boot it up.
Gotcha.
But you definitely want to make sure under any set of circumstances anyway that you've got a good backup. But in this particular case, it's important. Is that clear?
Yes, it is. Ready for number two?
Yipper.
All right. Something's going on with my screen. Like when I get in a Gmail, all of a sudden I get on the bottom, move the screen right or left, but I can't get it like centered. Like right now, I'm doing my income tax, and it's like, I don't know, let's say 70% shows, and then I have to hit the right on the bottom, the right arrow to go over to the other side. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. And you're using Windows XP?
XP, yes.
Okay. You have, oh, dear.
he doesn't want to hear that. Oh, dear.
Yeah, no, no.
This is like going
feature.
To the doctor, and he's examining it, and all of a sudden he goes, uh-oh.
Yeah. There's really two different resolutions on your screen.
Okay.
There's the physical hi, how are you?
I understand.
Physical resolution of the screen itself, and there's the virtual resolution of the desktop that's running on that screen.
Okay.
In your case, they are not the same.
What do I do?
Generally, what you want to do is change the virtual screen size to match the physical screen size. So the first thing you need to do is know what your physical screen size is.
It may be zoomed. You can zoom in on your screen so that everything on screen is a little bigger, but then you can't see all of the screen.
And how do you unzoom it?
XP has a program. I'm looking for that. Because quite often you can accidentally hit a key combination to turn that on. Alt-M may do it on XP, or the Windows key and the up arrow, or the Windows key and the down arrow to increase and decrease the zoom function. On the Macintosh, it's Command-Shift plus and Command-Shift minus to do the same thing. It zooms in onto your screen so that things are bigger, but then you may not be able to see everything on the screen.
Can you put that on your bytes, please?
Yep. We'll put that on there for you.
Appreciate it.
So that theoretically should fix it. But we'll also put one up that just basically tells you how to change your screen resolution.
Excellent.
Basically, it's in the Settings tab under Screen Resolution. There's a slider. It's the control panel, then Display, then Settings, then Screen Resolution. Drag the slider to the right place, and then click Apply. And what you want to do, first you need to know what your physical screen size is, and then set the actual desktop size to match that.
So it may be that your screen is capable of 1024 by 768, but you've got your computer set to 1280 by 1024. So there's the computer is trying to display more information than the screen can, so you're not seeing everything on screen.
I have an HP 2509B screen. It's a larger than normal.
Well, the physical size of the screen has very little bearing on the pixel dimensions of the screen.
Gotcha.
I am looking now to see what the pixel dimensions are of that screen. Product specifications, 22-inch widescreen. So that screen is capable of 1920 by 1080.
So first make sure it's actually doing 1920 by 1080, and for that I'm afraid you're going to have to look in the manual that came with the monitor, but make sure it's at its native resolution. And then you can match that in the display, in the control panel display setting screen resolution.
Beautiful.
There you go.
You guys are the best.
Thank you. And thank you so much for your donation.
Hey, love you.
Love you guys, too.
Bye.
Thanks. You know, don't leave Gerd and Ed and Dar and Sarah hanging out in the open.
Yeah.
Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ.
Be nice to beat the poker guys if we get over $800.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry. But, you know, I mean...
Let me give the phone number so people can call.
I fear.
585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Go.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, like, we keep begging and, you know, pushing for it, but the sooner we get them to pick up the phone, and I'd love to, this week, actually beat the poker guys. They beat us last week. We did good.
But not by much.
Did they?
They beat us, yes, last week.
But not by much.
No. That's what I mean. We're that's what's getting me frustrated. We're so close.
Yeah, I know.
And if we were to get over, you know, get a little over $800, we could actually come in here next week and say that we beat their butt for a change. It's in the past few years, what, there's only been a couple of times, you know, on a week-to-week basis, we've been able to come in and say, yeah, well, we beat you. We did once last drive the fall.
Yep.
But so far, we haven't been able to do it this year. Last week, we were this close.
Yep.
That's why I'm getting so frustrated. It's like, come on, we're so close. You almost taste it, but we need some of you folks to pick up the phones and call.
585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415 or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Doing that makes you a member of the Soundbites family, helps us keep this show on the air. You see how important that actually is this week. We will be back. It is 40 minutes after the hour. We've got a bunch more sound bites coming your way, so stay tuned. Take this 2 minutes to make that call. Become a member of the Sound Bites family, and we'll be right back on Member Supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we are in a pledge drive. You know this. All you have to do is help us out. There are levels of membership at the $35 level, the $50 level. What's interesting is that at each level, you have gifts that you will get. Every level gets the Jazz 90.1 membership card, which is good for discounts at lots of area merchants. When you pledge, before you pledge, check out jazz901.org. We have a list of all of the matching donors in town. So if you work for one of them, it doubles your pledge amount. And pledge at whatever level makes you happy, even if it's $5, $3, $8, $20. I absolutely refuse to believe that none of our listeners could afford $5.
Yeah, really.
I'm sorry. I just think. Here's a news item. Verizon Communications, in justifying its planned acquisition of spectrum from the major cable providers, said its wireless arm could suffer from a capacity shortage in the bigger cities as early as next year. We will need this spectrum in a number of significant markets by 2013, so there is no time to lose in making this spectrum available, said Randall Milch, general counsel for Verizon, in preparing remarks. Verizon and Comcast, hoping to avoid the pitfalls that ended up killing the AT&T T-Mobile deal, made their best case during a Senate hearing. At stake is Verizon's ability to tap into a valuable swath of spectrum, enabling it to continue building out its 4G LTE network. Comcast executive David Cohen, meanwhile, dismissed the notion that their cross-selling agreement would spell the end for Verizon's Fios television and internet service. Not that we in Rochester care. and argued the deal would actually spark competition and continued investment. The deal, however, has run into opposition from Verizon's union, as well as consumer interest groups and media watchdogs, who argue that the deal will hurt competition and lead to higher prices for consumers. Verizon's competitors, meanwhile, are already asking regulators to halt the deal. The companies needed to win some allies in the Senate, which has some influence over how the Federal Communications Commission and Justice Department will ultimately proceed. The proceedings also gave the two companies a chance to make the case in a public setting, while also giving critics a chance to voice their opposition. We've heard a lot about the spectrum crisis, but today I'd like to point out we face an equally large competition crisis, Free Press advisor Joel Kelly said during prepared remarks to the Senate Subcommittee on Antitrust and Consumer Rights. There are a few similarities between Verizon and AT&T's respective attempts at closing their acquisitions. Both companies are using the looming spectrum capacity crunch as the focal point of their arguments in justifying the deal. Verizon's situation is slightly different. While Verizon is acquiring spectrum from the cable consortium made up of Comcast, Time Warner Cable, Bright House Networks, and Cox Communications for $3.6 billion with a B dollars, it isn't acquiring any companies, but several cross-selling agreements, including a deal for Verizon to sell cable service and the cable providers to sell wireless service, have sparked concerns. So our question to you, how should the Senate handle this proposed merger. Hearings have begun. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll free at 1-800-790-0415.
We got to hear you say it. What's that one product that you would love to bring to Rochester?
Fios. I want Fios.
It's been a long time since you've talked about that.
I We're want getting... Fios. Fios is their is Verizon's high end wireless, not wireless, wired fiber optic system, and I would very much love. To have the kind of speed and everything
else. We're getting kind of close. Time Warner in town has, I forget what they call it, because there's regular turbo, max, you know, the super whiz bang, but they have a 50 megabit down, 30 megabit up plan available now with Roadrunner Cable.
Who does?
Roadrunner.
A Roadrunner.
50 down, 30 up. It's ridiculously expensive, but...
But it's there.
But it's there, yeah.
Is this one we should mention? Sam, our friend Sam, has made a pledge. Thank you so much, Sam.
Cider member. I was taking pledges at the cider meeting this
week. That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. So thank you, Sam. Sam joins Gerd and Ed and Dara and Sarah in becoming a member of the Soundbites family, and we very, very much thank you. And I appreciate that. But, yeah, Dave is making numbers dance for the moment. I'm not sure what that's about, but I'm very excited to hear it.
I tried going to Time Warner's website to check their speeds, and it got flagged by the proxy server.
Yeah.
Because we're not using Time Warner here in Greece.
Apparently we are not. So we want to thank people. We would also like to thank Bill from Rochester and Dan from Geneva for their generous pledges. Thank you so much. It's good to know they're joining Sam and Gerd and Ed and Dar and Sarah. So thank you, Bill, and thank you, Dan, for your pledges.
Yeah, and so it's really nice to see people pledging. Interestingly, now that we're back on the air, the pledges are coming in, but when we were off the air, people didn't know they needed the pledge, apparently. So it's nice to see. With every week we come to you, we share our knowledge with you. As Dave has pointed out, that if you had to hire all three of us to come to your house,
you couldn't afford it.
Would be pretty expensive. We would let you, but
and I don't
it would
eat
be pretty
cheap.
Expensive. Yeah. Yeah, what's for dinner?
If I'm drinking cheap beer.
Yeah.
If I'm staying for dinner, I want the good stuff. I'm not doing, you know, hamburger helper.
Sam is here helping out. Those of you who've been to Dave's shop have met Sam and love her as we do, and she has generously given up of her Saturday afternoon to come in here and help us out. So it's very, very sweet of
her.
She's
the crazy receptionist that you read about on the doorfront. This is the woman you don't want to mess. She controls Dan's and my life. God love her, and she puts up with us.
So if you want to get service faster, you know,
be good to Sam.
She can be bribed.
That's how it works. Sam rules that particular roost.
Yes,
so
she does.
So you need to be on her side. And we want to thank Gerd, who just upped his amount. So apparently the answers we gave him worked. So he was willing to give us a few extra dollars. Again, Gerd, thank you so much. That's just great. That's I can't tell you how much that means to us. There are people who understand the value not only our service, but the fact that Jazz 90.1 has given us a home, given us a place to provide that service. And they, you know, honestly, they took a flyer on us. They had no idea that anybody that listened to this station would care the first thing about computers. They're a jazz station, and they thought, well, yeah. But I hear from people all the time who say, I'm so glad that you're on Jazz 90.1. I listen to it all the time, and knowing that you're there on Saturday is terrific. They appreciate what Rob and the board here have done by putting us on, and we're very grateful as well. It's what makes this station what it is. It is truly member-supported. other people say it, we mean it. We don't get money from anybody else. Mm-hmm. We don't get federal exactly. money, state money, local money, county money, no money. It all comes from you. You, the members of this station, create the full support for this station. And I can't begin to tell you how great it is when people call in. So Dan and Bill and Sam and Gerd and Ed and Dar and Sarah, thank you so much. What you've done for us is beyond what I can say, because it's people like you who keep us on the air.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess, shoot, CRS.
Yeah, Kraft.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah.
But it. Go ahead.
No, I. It's just, you know, it's amazing. Some of these folks that will step up, you know, and value our word, you know, because like I say, we save folks so much time and effort. Like Linda. Linda called in, you know, and she was having trouble. We walk them through it. We don't get into the high-tech stuff. We try to be very user-friendly. And again, oh, I know what I was going to say. And going back to what you were saying about Rob taking a chance on us. I mean, talk about, I mean, he's got other unique programs on this station. He's got the German show, the polka show. He's got the family faith Christian show. He's got the Sinatra show. And he's got all these shows based around music. And then all of a sudden, in this whole week-long parade of music shows, right dab in the middle of a Saturday afternoon where you're out doing your shopping or working around the yard or just sitting around relaxing, he throws in sound bites. And it's a big hit.
And you know, he actually came to us in the beginning and said, we're not sure how this is going to work because we don't do call-in shows. And so far, it's been a struggle for Dave, but the rest of us like it. So we're pretty happy.
I'm having fun.
It's a pretty good deal, and they took a flyer on us. It's time for you to take a flyer on us, too. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It's what keeps us on the air, and it's you that keeps us on the air. So make that call, make that pledge, and join us. That music tells me we're done for another week. Again, let me thank Sarah and Dar and Ed and Gerd and Sam and Bill and Dan, who've done a terrific job for us this week. We want to thank each and every one of you. Now, sit back and relax, because I guarantee the best German music you're going to hear all week is coming your way next. George will be on the air, but luckily Linda's here to keep him in line. So we'll be taking off knowing that it's in good hands and George's hands. So we'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Thanks to each of you who became a member of the Soundbites family and the Jazz 90.1 family. And we'll be back here next week with Soundbites right here on
member-supported
Jazz 90.1. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining.